wish all of you, officially going to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving. It's Thursday. I won't see you before then, probably. But I hope you have a great day with your family and enjoy that day of celebration and thankfulness. We have a lot to be thankful for. This morning, before we start on this message, I just want to ask a question to all of us. I think that I probably know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And that is, of all of you that are here this morning, is there anyone that feels like you are just absolutely perfect when it comes to kindness and showing kindness to others? Anyone? Okay. Well, that's good. That way we can continue on. Obviously, we all need to hear this, and me included. Today is an opportunity for us to continue in this series of the one another's. And today, the one another that we're going to talk about is be kind to one another. And so for you and for me, it's probably something that we all need to learn to do better and to learn to do more effectively, just to be kind to those that we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. So let's look, first of all, at what kindness means. In the original Greek text, it means, the word is called krastitas. That's the how you pronounce the word of kindness. It is to be good, to be useful, to be helpful. In the definition, that's the definition of this word. To be good and useful, to be helpful. That's to be kind. In the English, it is a quality or state of being kind, an instance of kind behavior. Not only things we do, but things we say. You see, kindness comes in really a number of different packages, but two of those packages are the things that we do for others, and also the second one is the things that we say to others. We can show kindness in what we do, we can show kindness in what we say, and we can also do the opposite in what we do and the opposite of what we say. So it's just something we need to keep in mind, that being kind to one another is something we need to do to all the one another's, not just to our friends, not just to our family, not just to people in the church, but to all of those who God places in our path as we walk day to day. Everyone. We are to be kind to everyone. We are not to be kind to someone in order to receive something in return. I'll be nice to them because then they'll be nice to me. No, it's got nothing to do with that. We need to be people who are looking for ways to show our kindness to those in need. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we looking for ways to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? Or are we just focused on ourselves and our needs, or only helping those who can help us in return? That's only a question that each one of us individually can answer for ourselves. You know, there's a difference between looking for ways to be kind and just the normal reactions in being kind. They're both kind. But kind of just as an example, when you're walking in a store and someone's right behind you, and so you open the door and walk in, and then, you know, the reaction is a normal reaction from most folks, is to hold the door for that person to come in. That's a normal reaction. Or if you're walking someplace and someone trips and falls right in front of you, you may reach down and grab their hand and help them up. That's reactive. And you're reacting to something that's happened right there, and you're being kind. And that is kindness. But what I'm talking about specifically here, when I say looking for ways to be kind, I mean that when you get up in the morning, you're praying to God that He will point out opportunities to you to show kindness to others. So not just the things right in front of our face, but those things that are out and about that we just see that maybe there's a need there. You know, that person looks like they need some kindness, either in words or in action. So that's kind of the difference of what I'm talking about when I say looking for ways to show kindness to others. Kindness, just like praying or serving or forgiving, encouraging, comforting, submitting, and being hospitable to one another, is something that God is telling us to do. He's telling us to be kind. We are commanded to be kind and compassionate to one another, just like God has been kind and compassionate to us. You see, kindness is love in action. It is love serving others. So this morning, let's take a look at what God's Word has to say about kindness and how we are to be kind to others. We'll start out in Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That's right off the bat. Right into it. Tough. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. But get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And here's the verse. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you, as we talked about a few weeks back. So we are to be kind and compassionate. We need to speak things that build others up and not tear them down. It's a choice. And sometimes we fail. I know I do. I fail at that at times, and I need to do a better job when it comes to that. There's times where we say things that after we say it, we wish we wouldn't have said it. But it's too late. We've already kind of let it out. Being rude or being mean is the opposite of being kind. So if we're mean and cruel and spiteful, if we hold grudges or we're rude or we ignore people that we just don't really like, as believers, we need to rise above this type of behavior. All of us. If you are a mean person, then in the words of a great theologian, we just need to just stop it. That's what we need to do. As believers in Christ, we need to stop it if we're acting in a way that's mean. And if you think because you are saved by grace, it gives us the authority to be mean to others, we really need to take another look at it, because that's not the case. If we, as believers in Christ, we don't have the right, just because we're saved, to be mean to others. If we are a believer in Christ and we've been saved, then we need to act like we've been saved. We need to live like we've been saved, and we need to love like we've been saved. That's the point we have to understand. And so we're going to go on, and we're going to look again some more on out of Colossians on kindness. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness. It means dress yourself, put it all over you. Compassion and kindness. It goes on to say, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We need to be kind out of God's love and out of our love for others. We need to make sure that we are compassionate and kind people, that we do need to forgive in order to show that kindness. If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, then we are His chosen people. Every one of us in this room, as a believer in Christ, we are God's chosen people, and we need to put on the virtues of love. And kindness is one of those virtues. Love is what binds everything together, as we've talked about in every message in this series, that it comes out of love. It's because we love God and we love others that we do these things, and today is no different. We love and we're kind because of that. Let's take a look at Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and then kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As believers, we should take these virtues on. We need to be people who love others, who find our joy in Jesus Christ. We need to be at peace with God and mankind, patient, good, faithful servants. We need to be gentle and self-control. And as far as this message goes today, we need to show kindness in our everyday life, in our everyday walk. As an individual, we need to be kind. As a church, we need to be kind. As a country, we need to be kind. In 1989, the oncoming president, George Herbert Walker Bush, in his inaugural speech, told the nation that we needed to be a kinder and gentler nation. And if you go back and listen to his entire speech, his speech was wrapped in godly teaching. Mr. Bush was a godly man. And he understood the teaching of Paul, and he knew that if we wanted to have a godly nation, then we would need to be kind and gentle to one another. He knew that, and we know that. So let's take a look at some great examples that we've been given in the Word of God about acts of kindness. And obviously, we'll start with the most important and the most memorable one, which was Jesus. That he loved us so much and he was kind to us by coming to this earth, living and dying and rising again so that we may have eternal life. That was the ultimate act of kindness that he displayed for every one of us. We also see in Luke a story that most of us have heard about, the Good Samaritan. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when he fell into the hands of the robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave to the innkeeper. He said, look after this man. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And then the question was this, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This Samaritan not only stopped and showed kindness, he went the extra mile by taking him to the inn and paying for it as well. And then he even came back to check on him. What's even more meaningful in this teaching is that the Samaritans and the Jews did not like each other at all. And the priest and the Levite crossed the street and walked by him, but the Samaritan, who was supposed to be his enemy, stopped and helped the man. That's what's amazing about this passage. And this passage is for all of us. It's not just a story that happened in the Bible. Jesus shared this story with us so that it would help us in our day-to-day walk to be looking for ways to show kindness to those who are in need. You see, this Samaritan was willing to be inconvenienced to help someone else. He was willing to risk his life to help this man in need. In our everyday life, are we making ourselves aware what is going on around us and trying to find ways to help those who just need our help or need some kind of kindness? Or are we like the Levite, the priest, across the road to avoid it? Do we go the other way so they won't see us? I mean, how many times, and I'm guilty of this, and probably all of us in this room are guilty of this as well. How many times have we been maybe driving out of the Kroger parking lot and we see someone there with a sign who needs food or needs money? And we try not to make eye contact with them because then they'll see us. And if they see us, then we're going to feel guilty for maybe not helping them. And granted, there may be reasons, and you know, there may be people that are out there doing that for a living and they're dishonest and all those. I know I've heard all that, and it's true, and I have to struggle with that as well. But you know, it doesn't matter. Jesus is telling us to look for those people that we can help. And we shouldn't be trying to cross over the other side of the road to avoid them. If we see that they need help, we should help them. Another great example of this is found in 2 Samuel 9. I don't know if you're all familiar with 2 Samuel 9, but the story there is all about David. Now, you remember David was going to be king when Saul was king. Saul didn't like David because he was jealous of David. And so Saul tried to set out to kill David. The only problem was Saul's son, Jonathan, really loved David. The two of them were best friends. And so Jonathan would do everything he could to help David escape from his father. But then eventually in a battle, Jonathan lost his life. So later on, King David decides to go in and find any person that was still around, any person that was still living in Saul's family, and try to reach out to them to kind of show some kindness to them like the kindness that was showed to David. And he found one. He found the grandson to Saul, the son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth. He was a young man who was crippled. And David looked at him and said, what can we do to help this man and to help this young man? And one of the things he did was he made sure that everything that belonged to Saul, his inheritance from Saul, that this man got all of it, the land and everything that went with it. And then he went a step further and he said, and you can come and dine with me every night. You're always welcome at my table. Because you see, David knew that Jonathan showed him kindness and saved his life. And so he wanted to seek out and do the same thing for somebody in that family. And so that's what he did. And that's that story. And that story is there to help us understand that no matter what happens in our life, no matter what someone's done to us, we still should reach back and try to help those that we can. We would be well served if we remember that both God and others have been kind to us, and be willing to do the same for others, no matter who they are or what they've done. And that was David's attitude. That was his approach. He didn't take it to the degree, because King Saul was trying to kill him, and this was his grandson that he could get even. No, he did it just the opposite. He tried to find a way to help. So I'm sure that we can remember times in our life where people have done kind things for us. I'm sure that if we stopped this message right now and we opened up the floor, that we would take all the rest of the morning and probably into the afternoon sharing stories about how people have done kind things for each one of you and for me. I can tell you that, first of all, I know that, that there's kindness out there. I know that there's people showing kindness all the time. I appreciate the kindness that this church has shown Barb and I since coming here. You've been very kind to us, and I appreciate that kindness. I think about times where other people have done acts of kindness for me, not for anything in return, but just by being nice. I know that for a fact, there's been many mornings during the winter last year that I'd be at work and it'd be snowing outside, and I know that when I get home, I've got to change clothes, start the snowblower, and go out and do my driveway, only to find out when I pull in the driveway that it's already been cleaned, that somebody has come along and cleaned the driveway. Or sometimes it's early in the morning, and I hear this noise in the driveway, and I look out only to see the truck leaving. And I know that this person knows who they are. I know who they are, and I thank them for that, and I will continue to do that. But the point is, this person did this out of the kindness of their heart. They didn't want recognition. They didn't do it for anything in return. They did it because it was a nice thing to do, and I truly appreciate what they did. We've just come out of Pastor Appreciation Month, and many of you have given cards and desserts, like I need desserts, but you've given cards and desserts and thank yous and encouragement, words of encouragement. And for that, we are all grateful, because that really helps us. It gives us just a little bit more to just keep going and keep doing what we're called to do. So thank you for that as well. So I know that there's many acts of kindness that are being done. I'm sure you're doing acts of kindness, and I'm sure that you are receiving acts of kindness. But the thing about receiving acts of kindness is, in one way, it's okay, somebody's done a nice thing for us. But sometimes we have a hard time accepting that. Sometimes we have a hard time with people being kind to us. We want them to, but on the other hand, sometimes maybe we're proud, maybe we're whatever, but we may not handle that real well. But you know what? We could be robbing someone of a blessing. Because whenever you are kind to someone, you will have a blessing for that. Not here on this world, in this earth, but in heaven. That's why it's important to get those rewards in heaven for being kind to others. And so it's important to be able to accept kindness as well, to be thankful for what people can do for us. So let's be grateful for the kindness that we receive, and be gracious when kindness is shown to us. As believers, we are saved through the kindness and the mercy of Jesus. You see, we were lost, and now we're saved. We were dead, and now we're alive, because of the kindness of Jesus. In Titus 3, 1 through 7, Paul writes, "Remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good." Here's the points: to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But here's the key. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Amen? He saved us. Not because of our righteousness, the righteous things that we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and of the rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You see, our reward for Jesus' kindness is our salvation. Our hope of eternal life is founded in the kindness of Jesus. Because without that, we would have no hope. All of us today would have no hope for eternity if Jesus didn't show His kindness to us. So in turn, we need to show kindness to others so that we can be more Christ-like. In Proverbs 11:17, it's stated like this: Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. Now that we understand what kindness means and why we are commanded to be kind to one another, we can look closer at how to live it out in our everyday lives. See, just like in every other one another's messages that we've given to you, we have always talked at the end about ways in which we can live them out, how we can pray for you, how we can serve one another, how we can love one another, how we can submit to one another or forgive one another. And we talked about ways in which we can do that. And today is really no different. No different. Kindness is something that we understand is a command. We are commanded to be kind to one another. And we need to take a closer look at how that looks. Because can you imagine a church where people were being kind to each other on a regular basis? I hope we're that kind of a church. People looking for ways to help those in need in their community or just make somebody's life a little better, a little easier. To bring a smile upon a face that maybe hasn't smiled for a long time. A meal to someone who is hungry, or water to the thirsty, or shelter to the cold, or just maybe be kind to someone who needs kindness, whatever that may look like in your particular situation. I want to show a video this morning, and I want you to, it's a 3-minute video, but it's going to give us some ideas, some practical ways in which we can be kind. Because again, we may hear this message, we may read these passages, we may even understand it all. But if we don't leave here this morning and do something with it, then it was just words. And we don't want that. We want you to find ways this week and in the weeks to come to be kind to others. Find little ways in which you can make someone's life better. And I said, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, this might help you with a few ideas, but I can guarantee you there are a lot more besides this. But let's take a look at this video.
Hey, guys. So I know we normally upload prank videos, but today we want to do something a little bit different. Go out and help people with small acts of kindness.
And then even you can do it at home as well. So enjoy the video.
Thank you. God bless, man. See ya.
Those are just some ways in which we can be kind to others. I'm sure if we thought about it, we could one day set out with $25 or $40 or $50 in our pocket. We could just make it a thing that day that we're going to go out and find people that we can help, people who need some kindness, and show it. We can all do that. And we can make an impact in our world by doing that as well. So I encourage you to try to find ways to do that. Try to find ways. Ask God to help open your eyes, open my eyes, to see those who are in need, and then try to help. So as we close, we want to take a look at some action steps for all of us, things that we can do in kind of review of this, be kind to one another. Kindness will take action. You see, if kindness doesn't take action, then it's just words, and words are empty. We can tell people all day long we want to help people. We can tell people all day long how great it is to show kindness. But if we don't show kindness and we don't do it, it really doesn't matter. Living out Jesus in our life, like all these one another's, it's a matter of putting it into action. Taking what we learn and putting it into action. Kindness will take a risk, just like the Samaritan who was willing to take a risk to help someone in need. It could cost him his life, but he still did it anyway. The guy could take advantage of it. That's some of the things that we say. Well, they're just doing this. That's just the way they are. They make a living doing this. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they are somebody who really needs a meal or really needs a drink or really needs help. And I know that God, if you help someone that maybe isn't being honest, then that'll be between them and God. But we will still do what we need to do. So we need to do it anyway, no matter what. Kindness will pay the price. It may cost us something, money, time. Again, even though it costs us something, we still need to do it anyway. Kindness will put others first. Someone else needs to be above our own. You see, the needs of others should always be above our own needs. And that's an important thing for all of us to understand and live out, that others are more important than we are. Kindness will finish what it starts, so see it through, just like the Samaritan. Take the extra mile if needed, not just the minimum. You know, the person needs a meal, and so we go to McDonald's and we buy them a small fry. Well, maybe they needed a sandwich and a drink as well. Take it further than the minimum. Try to do whatever you can to make their life better. That's being kind to one another. And finally, kindness does not seek recognition. Do it to bring glory to God and not to make us look better, because our reward will be in heaven. It's not about us getting the glory. As a church, remember I talked about being kind to others? The same thing applies. That's why when we do something for the community, or have a dinner for the community, or we collect turkeys like we do for the community, or diapers like we're going to do in a couple weeks, we don't call the newspaper and make a big deal out of it. We're just doing it because it's the right thing to do, not to get notoriety. That's important for us as a church and as individuals. It's not so that everybody can see you helping someone so that it brings glory to you. If that's the case, then you've got your reward right here on earth. But the point is, we need to do these things out of the love of Christ to bring glory to Him, and our rewards will come in heaven. So, now it's up to each of us, every one of us that are in this room right now, to be kind to one another. Just like being hospitable or submitting or praying, any one of these one another's. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're to be looking for ways to help someone who needs kindness. In words, in actions, whatever it may be. Be a kind of person who's out there truly asking God to put those folks in front of you. And then take the step and be kind. Say a nice thing. Do whatever you can do to bring kindness. Whatever you can afford to do to bring kindness to someone else. Because here's the point. It's through that kindness that we have for others that people will see Jesus. And hopefully from that, lives will be changed forever. Because we are Jesus on earth now. We are Him. We are trying to do what He wants us to do so that they can see Him and come to Him. So if our acts of kindness will help lead someone to their salvation so that they have that hope for eternity, don't miss that opportunity. Don't cross the road. Do what you can for them. Maybe you can't do something really big. Do something small. Do something. Because that's how they will see Jesus, is through us. Dear God, You are an awesome God, and we just give You all the praise for all this. For Your word, we thank You. Lord, this morning, I just ask that we, all of us, can leave here this morning realizing that You were the greatest example of all. You didn't have to come. You didn't have to die. You didn't have to do any of those things, but You did them. You were kind to us because You knew that was our only hope. And so we thank You for that. But now in return, Lord, because of Your love for us and because of our love for You and because You have commanded us to love others, I pray that we can show kindness to those that You place in our path. That we can be looking for those folks to help. Not so that we get the glory, but so that You get the glory. And so that at the end, maybe it causes them to give their life to You so they can share in their eternity with us. In Your name.